Hi, I'm Gary Nall. Always a pleasure to be able to share the best information on health and healing with you. How to de-age, how to reverse the aging process naturally, how to interfere in the disease process to your advantage, how to prevent disease to begin with. Always the best articles from the best journals, and we get this from the National Library of Medicine, the official repository of peer-reviewed literature. Now, why do I select the different articles I do? That's because we're a worldwide audience. We have people all over the world watching right now because our health and nutrition segment, we video stream. And I'll give you an example. Because everybody wants to be healthy, or should. And a new study out of a university in Brazil shows that there is anti-tumor properties in pomegranates. Well, we knew that pomegranate was very good for the heart and the arteries. It helps heal damaged arteries and veins, and it certainly helps the heart, and it gives you nitric oxide, which increases the vasodilation, meaning it opens up the arteries and veins and allows the blood to flow stronger through there, therefore improving the microcirculation to both your brain and your legs and feet. How many times have you looked down to your ankles and seen that there's kind of little purplish colors? And that's oxygen deprivation, that's poor circulation. And so we want to improve that. Varicosity is the same way. Now, during a normal lifespan, all of us under the most perfect conditions still cause accumulative damage to our arteries, the inner walls, the inner sanctum of the artery and vein, the epithelium. And when you have highly acidic foods in the diet, when you have a lot of alcohol in the diet, you damage that severely. And that causes stiffening, a hardening, a calcification of the arteries. As a result, we call it arterial sclerosis and atherosclerosis. And that leads to cardiovascular disease. And that leads to stroke and heart attacks. So now we can add, along with a lot of other good foods, like in nutrients like vitamin E, coenzyme Q10, L-carnitine, vitamin C, magnesium, and calcium, we had pomegranates. Now, pomegranates now come from all over the world, so we have them pretty much 12 months a year. But if for some reason you can't find a pomegranate, then I suggest you get the unsweetened pomegranate juice. But if you want even more potency at the cellular level, have concentrated pomegranate. And the only thing that makes it concentrated is that you've taken the juice and you've wicked off a lot of the water, and therefore it's more concentrated. And here's what it does. This is an all-natural product, and it shows enormous potential for treating cancer. And the pomegranate is a fruit, and there's hundreds of studies on its ability to help the body. And now there's studies on its anti-cancer potential. And in fact, it wasn't until recently that researchers from Brazil were able to observe pomegranate's anti-cancer properties in an VIVO study. Their findings were published in the Journal of Medicinal Plants Research. And now we know that we should have a pomegranate a day, just like an apple a day. Well, we should add an onion a day, raw onion. Yeah, really good. The red onion is the best. These are things we should have on a regular basis. And traditionally, people have had the pomegranate, generally in southern climates, for sore throats and coughs and urinary tract infections and digestive disorders and skin disorders and arthritis and the heart. But with current advancements in science, researchers were able to identify the bioactive compounds in the pomegranate, and that's important. They found that it's rich in what are called tannins, T-A-N-N-I-N-S, and also what is called punicillin, P-U-N-I-C-A-L-I-N, gallic acid, G-A-L-L-I-C acid, egallic acid, E-L-L-A-G-I-C acid, and its derivatives. Now, these are all natural chemicals, and many existing scientific publications attribute the healing and antibacterial effect and the chemopreventative effect and the anti-tumor effect of pomegranates to those compounds. And so they did a study, and it proved exactly that. So if something can help interfere in the cancer we have in our body, and that was after just 8 days, they found significant increases in the number of what is called a suicide cells, meaning the cancer cells were committing suicide, and as an apoptotic effect. That indicates that pomegranates work against cancer by inducing programmed cell death, which will then signal immune cells to eliminate them without triggering an inflammatory response. Hey, how about that? So that's just good news all the way around. More good news, this from Johns Hopkins University. Have you heard of magnolia bark? No? You've heard of magnolia blossom, beautiful plant, big white, beautiful blossoms. Well, now there's new research showing that magnolia bark can help give you a better night's sleep. Now, we know that L-theanine that you find in green tea can help you sleep. 200 milligrams really is good for you. We know that by turning off all electrical devices in your room, all cell phones, laptops, and unplugging your computer and television, that helps. Being in a dark room, and if you have noise, wearing earplugs, that helps. Not eating within 4 hours going to bed, that really helps. And especially having no caffeinated beverages within 4 hours going to bed. But add on to that, and magnesium helps too, and a hot bath or shower helps. But now you have the Magnolia officinatus. That's a flowering tree whose bark and flowers are commonly used in traditional Chinese, Japanese, and Korean medicine. However, most people today are not that familiar with the herb, which is very unfortunate since it's associated with a wide variety of health benefits. One of the most common uses of the magnolia bark is to promote sleep and relaxation, and to de-stress you. The bark of the magnolia tree is rich in bioactive compounds, such as what is called the magnolol and the honokokiol, and that have been shown to have anti-inflammatory, that's your arthritis, diabetes, and cancer, heart disease, and also any kind of inflammation in the brain. It also has antibacterial effects and anti-allergy properties. Yeah, all that. But also now it contributes to overall well-being, and it gives you a better night's sleep. And it causes an increase in the production of what is called gamma, aminobutyric acid, or GABA, G-A-B-A. That's a brain chemical that induces a calming effect on the brain. And by increasing the amount of this neurotransmitter, you can effectively prevent insomnia, which is a sleep disorder associated with low GABA levels. Now, adrenaline and cortisol are some of the other substances in the body that are affected by magnolia bark intake. However, unlike GABA, these two are reduced in the presence of the herb. This is beneficial for those who need more sleep and need to be more relaxed. All right? Instead of alert and vigilant, which is what happens when you have an adrenaline rush. So the magnolia bark contains at least one compound that increases the amount of time a person spends in rapid eye movement, or REM sleep, which is important for quality of sleep. And this was published in the journal Neuroscientist. So again, those are good studies, something that's non-toxic and all-natural that helps us. Now, something else that helps us is a study out of Harvard School of Public Health. And it's about the time spent in nature, in the woods, by a lake, by the ocean, looking out at great green pastures. That slows Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, and therefore helps with dementia. So the takeaway message is simple. Living in an area with easy access to parks and rivers appears to slow the progression of the devastating neurological diseases. And that's the conclusion of a new study based upon more than a decade and a half tracking disease risk among nearly 62 million Americans 65 years and older. And prior research showed that natural environments, such as forests and parks and rivers, can help to reduce stress and restore attention. That was from the fellow at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health in Boston. In addition, natural environments provide settings for physical activity and social interactions. And I just think that we're lacking in today's modern world, with so many people spending too much time in front of their computers and laptops and cell phones, looking down instead of looking around. So the key is heads up, you become aware of everything around you. Heads down, you don't. That's simple. I know that when I've been asked a lot of times by people, in fact, just on Christmas Day, or the day before Christmas, some people showed up here from New York, and they were just outside. I saw the car, and people stop here all the time because of the beautiful flowers and herbs and shrubs and trees of all different types. It's the most, let's put it this way, I've spent 26 years with my hobby, which is landscape architecture, and I love to take things that are barren and make an oasis out of them. And I've done that here. And that's how I can balance my life. When I'm in New York, love New York City historically. It was just, I couldn't imagine a better place to be. Every morning in Central Park, just being in that park with thousands of other people running, you're in a place of lots of trees and beautiful park, one of the most beautiful parks in America. And then on the weekends, I would go upstate to the Fertler Farm for 15 years, then out to New Jersey on Lake Apacong for another 5 years, until I then purchased the Healing Springs Ranch. And then when I sold that, I purchased this place. So I've always, my whole adult life, I've lived on a farm or a ranch, but also living in the city, getting the culture of the city. Well, here I don't get the culture, and I don't have company. I'm here alone. And that's fine. I'm not lonely, because I've got all these wonderful, loving creatures that I just laugh with, and they're fun, and especially the babies that are brought in that have been abandoned or abused, and getting them back to loving people again. It's just joyful. But more than anything, it's just walking in nature. So I believe that we can do more with our own backyard. In fact, in about a month, I'm going to do a video workshop on how you can turn your home and your backyard, if you have one, and if not, a room in your house, into a little oasis. And so you can have that, because we all have different circumstances. And I believe that more and more people should consider, if they can, not everyone can, but maybe changing your locations. Now, when you look at this storm that just passed, and you see that over 60 people that we know of died, mainly freezing to death, and shouldn't we take that as a message that a once-in-a-lifetime event is now happening sometimes once a year? And then that's just the freezing that's going on. Imagine now with the increase in all of our utilities, which is going to keep going up, my own utilities here. And I've got solar, I've got backup, you know, generators with 6 months' worth of propane. So I'm set here. And I insulated the house when I built it. I designed and built this house myself. That when it was 38 degrees out, no heat on in the house, it was 70 degrees. That's the power of insulation. And most people don't have well-insulated houses. Most people don't have backup systems. Most people living around the oceans of America, which is about 60 million people, don't have a plan B. We saw that with the devastation, and it's still devastated. And unfortunately, the people weren't covered. Most of them weren't covered by insurance. They lost everything. Now, mind you, when you drive up the west coast of Florida, not the east coast so much, but the west coast of Florida, you see thousands of homes, old homes built in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, small homes, 1,200 square foot, right on the ocean. And then beside them, you see these gigantic, you know, buildings, and that's the expense. So these people probably had a house that cost them $50,000 when it was built. And now it's worth $1 million. Yeah. And they have beautiful yards and wonderful or ornamental trees, all kinds of landscaping designs. Just delightful. In fact, every time I go to the farmer's market, which is down there, I drive up these side streets just to look at people's yards. You know, and if I see them out, I'll stop and roll down the window and give them a thumbs up. Hey, you know, you got a beautiful home there. Not now. It's all gone. When I say all gone, the salt water came in from the ocean with a nine foot, and then in some place went up to 12 foot. And you see the water line on the houses. And these are not two-story houses, one-story house. And all you see is just huge, almost unbelievable mounds of furniture up the entire road, miles of it. Now they're cleaning it up. But then what you see are all those beautiful old palm trees dead because of the salt water. And the grass, all the grass dead because of the salt water. It rested and that will kill off grass, it'll kill the roots of trees. And so now it just looks like a desolate place. Now the big mansions down in Port Royal, a 2 mile stretch, much like West Palm Beach or Laguna Beach, that's where the wealthy people live, they can rebuild. They're already bringing in new palm trees and putting down new soil and then putting grass down. They can afford that. But all the tens of thousands of Floridians, they've lost everything. They no longer have any equity. And now in Fort Myers, the city council passed ordinances that you can't rebuild unless you have a longer lot. Well, they don't have longer lots. They said, too bad. House gets torn down. Because once a house is flooded, you got mold. And the mold's inside the walls. So you have to gut the whole house. You have to tear it down and start over. How many times are you going to do that? How many times can you afford to do that? And what did we learn from Katrina and Hurricane Sandy? How about nothing? I've spoken probably now with 300 people since the hurricane who live down there. And I just ask them, friend, what did you do to prepare for the storm? And the answer is always the same. And I mean always, every single case. Nothing. What could we do? We didn't think it would be this bad. It wasn't that bad 5 years ago. And then you see the insurance checks coming if they have coverage. I got an insurance check and there's nothing on it. I sent it back. Why? Because I know if I cashed it, that would be considered the end of it. No. I got an insurance adjusting company and I got to rebuild. But I'm not in the flood zone. I'm way back off the ocean. I'm back in the sticks, this blue-collar country. My neighbors are, working-class people. And so this isn't a high-end area. I wanted land so I could build things. But the takeaway message is this. Shouldn't we start looking at where we can sustain ourselves, including places that have a lot of beauty, a lot of natural beauty, in the woods, not in the deserts? And I'm going to show you later on some clips, brand new, about how people are moving to one area of Arizona. And it shows you up on a mountain, the entire valley is just house after house. And where's the water? And they're building gigantic new places for 1 million people. And there's no water, just groundwater. You take groundwater and it's gone. It's gone forever. This isn't fed by the Colorado River. Why? Why are we doing everything wrong when it comes to the environment? We're doing nothing right, nothing at all, zero. You sold that money, none of it's going to go for anything. It's going to go into corporate people who lobby and got the money, just like with so many other programs, and nothing gets done. We're not planting 2 billion trees, which we should. We're not asking people to stop over-consuming, which they are. We're not asking people to change what they buy because they don't need it and save the money, which they're not doing. And we don't ask people, stop moving to non-sustainable places. Move while you can. And we have all these examples, the hurricane 2 months ago, and now this freeze. And yet people say, well, you know, it'll thaw and it'll get better. Nothing concerning the environment will ever in your lifetime get better. It will only get worse. So why not go to a place with beauty? And there are lots of beautiful places that are sustainable and are not susceptible to these environmental destructive events. Just suggesting it, because it's also good for our state of mind. It's good to detoxify, relax our emotions. It's one of the best things you can do. And we're not doing it. We're congested into urban and suburban environments. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break. And remember, if you want to see the thousands of video clips we have, you can go to YouTube, unless we get thrown off, which we probably will, because almost anything that we say will be anathema to some corporate interest. But you can also go, and more importantly, I would suggest you go to Rumble. Again, go to Rumble, because it's got all these videos. And Odyssey has, are you ready for this? According to Rodney, in our New York studios, and they found 4,000 of our clips on Odyssey. And it's free on Rumble and Odyssey. I believe it's free, pretty sure. So go there, all right? Or always GaryNall.com, and then scroll down to the article or video or whatever it is, or Perrin.live. Okay? Back in a moment with the rest of our program. Please stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Gary Nall. A question for you. Who said this? Quote, unless the people through unified action arise and take charge of their government, they will find that their government has taken charge of them. Independence and liberty will be gone, and the general public will find itself in a condition of servitude to an aggregation of organized and selfish interest. End quote. If you know the answer, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm interested in what you have to say on that. Also, I'm interested in a piece of legislation in Canada that would allow young people, what they call young adults, which means, you know, someone, a young teenager or younger, to get into one of the government's many assisted suicide centers and be euthanized without their parents' permission. Now think what it's like today for many young people. Think of all the people taking fentanyl, all the people taking OxyContin, all the people taking alcohol or other drugs. If you add all that up together, including suicide, it's over 250,000 last year. That's a huge number of people. But to make it easier, now Canada's got all these places where you can just go in and say, I'm going to die, and they'll help you. All perfectly legal. Now they want to be able to get to where a child or young person can say, I'm not feeling good about life, I want to die. And they say, not a problem. Come on in. We'll kill you. This is under Trudeau. And do you agree with it? Do you think it's a good idea? Would it be a way of putting a lot of young people out of their misery and let them go? Or do you think it's a bad idea? And it's just one more way that the government interferes in our freedom of choice, especially when they try to deny that choice to the parents. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888. We're having a lot of misinformation concerning what's going over in the war in Europe. We've been lied to nonstop. We've shown you reporters on the ground. We've shown you reporters in the front lines showing how the Ukrainians and the Azov battalion are killing Ukrainians, shelling cities, trying to blame it on Russia. Now, I'm not taking sides in this. I'm opposed to Russia invading Ukraine. But it's all one-sided. We're not getting a clearer picture. So I thought it might be worthwhile to hear what Chris Hedges has to say, because he believes, and I've known Chris for quite a long time, that he believes that both parties have sold out. And especially disappointing is the liberal community, which historically would have been the first voice heard about freedom of speech. Even if you don't like what I have to say, you should not block it. Just if you don't like what I say, turn the channel, listen to someone else. And it wasn't the kind, good, positive speech that they were concerned with. They wanted to protect the most egregious speech. Not today. Today it is the Democratic, and by extension, that part of the liberal community that supports it without challenge. Now, Chris Hedges and Matt Taibbi and Glenn Greenwald and Max Blumenthal, who's going to be on the show on Friday, and all the others who were once the darlings of the liberal community, you could see them every night on Keith Olbermann, Rachel Maddow, every night. One of them was out there. Now they're all persona non grata. They're being attacked as being, swinging to the right. It's not true. They haven't swung to the right at all. They simply are very disappointed at what has happened to those who said they protected freedom of speech and were against war. Even Bernie Sanders, what a hypocrite, supported the war appropriations, even more money than what the Pentagon asked for. And we don't even qualify any of this. Just like the $102 billion allocated or given to Ukraine and Zelensky, Rand Paul wanted to put an amendment in there to say that it had to be accounted for. There must be an audit. No. Democrats and Republicans took that out. So now whatever he decides to do with the money, he can do. And we already have seen that it is the country with the most graft, corruption, vileness of any country in Europe. And yet that's where the Pentagon and the Defense Department, the CIA, decided to put 25 biolabs. And by the way, make no mistake, a biolab is a bioweapons lab. Many of these sponsored by DARPA. These are not about enhancing your well-being. It has nothing to do with public health. It has to do with how we can defeat an enemy without having to fire a shot by destroying their immune systems. I wrote an article on this in October 1989. It was the first article of its type because I had spent a year investigating all of the secret experimentation on people. I discovered at a hospital for the indigent over in Brooklyn, they were injecting live cancer cells into the legs of pregnant women, telling them it was vitamins. It wasn't. And the person who was exposed to having done it, nothing happened to them. So you see, we're lied at every part. At what point do you have enough lies from enough of your sources, enough of your credible people, you just say, you've lied about 1,000 times and you've lied on every important issue, and on foreign policy, domestic policy. So I'm not going to trust you anymore. But we don't. And here's my question. Why is it that pathological lying is completely normal and acceptable, and we don't challenge a person if they're in power? But if they're not in power, even when they tell the truth and have the facts to back it up, we say they're lying. How about that for a Kafka spin? Tell the truth, like a whistleblower, like Julian Assange, and like Chelsea Manning, and all the others, and you're an enemy of the state. Lie and cover up the crimes of the state, and you're a hero. How do we get there? How do we get to this place? I'd like your input, please. 888-874-4888. We're going to go to a short Chris Hedges clip where he's being interviewed about why we are constantly at war. What's the motive?
The press and most of the public always falls in line in a conflict, challenging the dominant narrative, even if you're speaking truth, is unacceptable. It will see you marginalized. It's certainly been true over the Ukraine conflict, but it's true in every conflict. And Bourne's statement that war is the health of the state means that in wartime, the state, with the excuse of national security, can accrue to itself all sorts of power that it wouldn't in peacetime be able to express. Censorship, control of resources, everything has to be sacrificed for the war effort, so you can't have strikes. And of course, Bourne was speaking about the First World War. Woodrow Wilson was the kind of best exemplar of this. He used the war, and remember, he had campaigned in 1916, I believe his slogan was he kept us out of the war. But once the war started, he passed the Sedition Act and the Espionage Act, which was used to shut down his left-wing critics like Eugene V. Debs, who he threw in prison. It was used later to deport Emma Goldman, Alexander Berkman, and others. It was used to shut down the newspaper The Masses. None of this had really anything to do with a war effort. It had to do with crushing the left. And that sets the template for what happens in a conflict. It is not just about hunting out people who might be sympathetic or working on behalf of those who are defined as the enemy. It's always used to crush the left.
Edwin Starr, in his 1970 hit song, you may remember it, was called War. And in that song, he asks, "What is it good for?" And he answers, "Absolutely nothing." But actually, for weapons manufacturers, it's a bonanza. In a talk that you gave at the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, New York, some months ago, which we aired on alternative radio, you mentioned seeing Raytheon billboards in Poland. Raytheon being a giant weapons manufacturer.
Right. Well, that is why NATO was expanded. I was in Eastern Europe in 1989 with the collapse of the Soviet Union as a reporter covering the revolutions in East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Romania. We naively thought that with the end of the Cold War, NATO had been rendered obsolete. It was a military alliance built specifically to prevent Soviet expansion into Eastern Europe. Everyone began talking about the peace dividend, so we wouldn't funnel staggering amounts of resources and state revenue towards the military, which of course had gotten insane even by the 1950s, where we were building nuclear weapons that it was no longer about what we could destroy in the Soviet Union, but it was geared towards productive capacity so that we could destroy the same Soviet city 20 times over. And of course, that we proved, those of us who were there, turned out to be very naive. The arms industry had no intention of reducing its size or its grip on the state. It was universally understood that expanding NATO beyond the borders of a unified Germany, and let's remember that Secretary of State James Baker in the Reagan administration, Hans-Dietrich Genscher, the German foreign minister, Margaret Thatcher, they all assured Gorbachev that NATO would not be expanded, because it was geopolitically unnecessary. Gorbachev was actually looking for a kind of joint security alliance with Moscow, and it would be a provocation. And of course, it expanded anyway. And why did it expand? Well, because large corporations like Raytheon stood to gain tremendous amounts of money. Yes, I was in Warsaw a couple years ago, and there were Raytheon billboards all over the city because, of course, Raytheon is bilking the Poles. The Poles just signed a $6 billion deal to buy M1 Abrams tanks, and of course we have seen now NATO allied NATO alliances built with almost every country in Eastern and Central Europe: Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic, Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Albania, Croatia, Montenegro, and North Macedonia. And it's a multi-billion-dollar a year bonanza. And I think one of the legitimate complaints on the part of Russia is that the Ukraine is a de facto member of NATO, also supplied with tremendous, and of course, this has all been augmented since the invasion and war, supplied with NATO compatible weapons and I think we had 150 military advisors in there. One has to wonder if provoking Russia into a conflict wasn't part of the cynical plan on the part of the Western alliance because, of course, stoking a war, which it's clear that Washington would like to turn into another Chechnya or the old Afghanistan. Remember, Brzezinski, Carter's national security advisor, began arming and supporting jihadists who were based in Pakistan to destabilize the government in Kabul, which was allied with the Soviet Union, baiting the Soviet forces into Afghanistan with the very costly war that ensued. And they clearly want the same thing in Ukraine. They in the parlance, they want Russia to bleed, but of course, it's really the Ukrainians who bleed. And that is the tragedy, that the peace was really sacrificed for U.S. global hegemony. It was sacrificed for billions in profits. Peace should have, the end of the Cold War should have seen us turn away from investing in arms and weapons.
45 seconds, Gary.
And investing in people rather than systems of control to address the climate emergency. And of course, none of that is happening. And meanwhile, the greatest existential crisis to face the human species is taking place at an accelerated rate. The Amazon's reaching the tipping point, the land ice and ice shelves are melting at a far faster rate than climate scientists predicted. Temperatures are soaring, monster hurricanes, floods, droughts, wildfires, crop yields are declining. The collective folly of the ruling elites is propelling us once again towards permanent war.
I agree. But Chris, here's a question for you. At what point do you stop giving the power to the oligarchs and those in control of our lives and take back control and say, no more, we're not allowing this, and start protest? The average person has yet to protest anything in their life. So are you assuming that somehow there's going to be an overnight uprising, that people will finally say, I'm in enough pain, I'm willing to find my voice? Because I'm seeing people in a lot of pain, and they're still not making any proper choices. I'm not optimistic. I believe that we will never be saved by the silent majority. Here's just one example of the hypocrisy of wealthy people. Now, this is from Maria Z, that's Z-E-E-E, and she says the wealthy business people require unvaccinated crews for their private jets. Oh, you mean the same people who said that, you know, that everybody on a flight, the pilots, attendants, everyone and the passengers all have to be vaccinated or shouldn't be able to fly, except on their planes, because there have been heart attacks and strokes by pilots, and they don't want their pilots having a stroke or heart attack. Why? Why wouldn't they care if it's a regular person? Oh, because they're not regular people. Remember what they said, and they said it publicly and were not rebutted or refuted. You are worthless and you are useless. Listen to this 1 minute clip.
And the U.S. Freedom Flyers, Josh Yoder, he's the head president of the U.S. Freedom Flyers. He said they're getting calls now from wealthy businessmen and companies to fly their executives around on business jets with unvaccinated crews. Now, they get the luxury of being able to choose because there are still a large amount of crew available in the United States who are not vaccinated because the companies they work for didn't mandate it. And
yes,
these wealthy businessmen are requiring unvaccinated crew on their business jets. Now, passengers of an airline on an airline bought a ticket don't have that luxury.
That's correct. And you wouldn't have known this had you not listened today, because this is not on the mainstream news, because someone might call them out, especially since many of these people were very vocal, including a lot of celebrities, including Sean Penn, really an outstanding actor. I enjoy his movies, and he's skilled at his craft. But then he starts going over and becoming a political opportunist, loaning his Oscar to Zelensky. Exactly what was the purpose of that? So now Zelensky got a photo op with Sean Penn and all the other, you know, people who've gone over, celebrities, to get a photo op with him. But we're for you. What part of Zelensky are you for? Are you for the fact that Max Blumenthal, and you'll hear him say this in person on Friday, was invited to attend a Madrid conference of hundreds of top tech people and to talk about his investigations? And then when he was there, they lobbied to throw him out. How'd that happen? Well, that was Zelensky's wife. She was there and she went around, and this is according to the stories. She said, get him out of here or there'll be consequences. So they did. He'll tell that story. Or do you support the part where he's eliminated all political parties and arrested his political opponents and closed down the largest church, Christian church, in the country and have banned them from worshiping? Is that part? Or how about the death squads? There's a death squad. By the way, Max Blumenthal is on that death squad. And Eva Bartlett, many of the people you've heard on this program, are on that death squad. And these people are being assassinated. So he's got hit teams out there. Do you believe that it's important to have death squads that can go around like the Black Church used to do in Italy in the 1920s? And anyone who opposed them was simply taken out that night, put in a car, taken out, shot, and thrown in the road. What about the Black Flag operations where they bombed their own civilians and tried to blame it on the Russians? But it just so happens there were independent journalists there who photographed this and filmed the people, saying it was Zelensky's Azov battalion people who kept us in the basements, wouldn't allow us to go. When someone tried to walk away, they were just shot. Is that the same group you support? Just curious. Something else that's concerning me, and I've let you know my feelings on this in both award-winning documentaries, Last Call for Tomorrow, and as well as Saving the Planet One Bite at a Time, and Plant Codes, and a major 700-plus page book, Saving the Planet One Bite at a Time, and well as the Clearer, Cleaner, Safer, Greener book, and about 100 articles and over 1,000 broadcasts. So you know where I stand. I stand on the idea that, A, we're not going to do anything because we choose not to. Because the average person is so damn selfish, so self-absorbed, they don't want to know the truth. It was Fritz Perl, the father of Gestalt psychology, who said a fear of knowing is a fear of doing. So as long as I don't know the facts and know the alternative to the existing facts, I don't have to do anything. Eat my hamburgers, buy more clothes than what I need, buy clothes made in Bangladesh so people there, women, have to live under horrific slave-like conditions. And I want my cell phone. Oh, cobalt goes in that cell phone and your computer and can't work without it. I don't care. But young kids are being, put into slavery. I still don't care. You don't care that you're directly, personally responsible for the enslavement of a young child in Africa? Yeah, I want my... I see, so you're spoiled, petulant, narcissistic, ego. I'll hold my tongue for the rest of what I think of these people. But these are the people that will show up for Thurnberg, and all scripted, of course, and then say they're for something and turn around and do exactly the opposite of which supports it. And that's all of our Congress. That's all of the corporations. It's all the media. So you think you're going to win? You think someone's going to suddenly do the right thing and plant 2 billion trees? No, there won't be a tree planted. You think they're going to actually tell people to move away and help them, support them moving away from environmentally unsustainable environments? Not a single person. You think because they need the tax base to run these gigantic corrupt bureaucracies like in California. So nothing is going to change. So it's up to you. It's up to you because no one else is going to do a damn thing. And you better pay attention to this because if you're waiting, you're waiting for Godot. Here is a short clip on the disturbing reality of cobalt mining for rechargeable batteries. So all of you who thought, well, we're virtuous people, look at our Or you look at our batteried car.
Wow. To write this book and why it's of concern to you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I started traveling to the Congo 5 years ago. I've been doing research on slavery and child labor for about 20 years, traveling all around the world, documenting slaves and child laborers, human trafficking. And this came across my radar maybe 7 years ago. People started talking in the field about cobalt's in the batteries, it's in the Congo, the conditions are horrible, and I had no idea. I'd never heard of this. So I started planning to take trips to get down there. And I took my first trip back in 2018. My plan was I thought I would try to lay the groundwork to do some academic research. And the things I saw there were so appalling and heart-wrenching and urgent that I changed my approach. I thought, people need to know about this. I need to write a book. And so I started planning more trips, and I just kept going back. And the reason this is important, Joe, and we can dig into this in more depth, throughout the whole history of slavery, I mean, I'm going back centuries, never, never in human history has there been more suffering that generated more profit and was linked to the lives of more people around the world ever, ever in history than what's happening in the Congo right now. And the reason I say that is this. The cobalt that's being mined in the Congo is in every single lithium-ion rechargeable battery manufactured in the world today. Every smartphone, every tablet, every laptop, and crucially, every electric vehicle. So you and I, we can't function on a day-to-day basis without cobalt, and three-fourths of the supply is coming out of the Congo. And it's being mined in appalling, heart-wrenching, dangerous conditions. And so that's why people need to know, because by and large, the world doesn't know what's happening in the Congo.
It's something that people sort of know peripherally, that, you know, they call them conflict minerals, and, you know, they know that they're coming from an area of the world that's very poor, but I don't think people are aware of how horrible it is. There have been some documentaries that have been done on it, and they're all terrifying.
Yeah, so conflict minerals was phase one, and that's actually not cobalt.
What does it refer to, conflict
so
minerals?
So conflict minerals, also called the 3TG minerals, are tin, tungsten, tantalum, and gold. And those are in the eastern Congo. And that catastrophe started around the year 2000, late 1990s, 2000, shortly after the Rwandan genocide. The militias moved in, and the eastern Congo is sitting on some of the largest reserves in the world of those 3TG minerals, especially tantalum. And those are all used in microprocessors. And you can think back to, you know, around the year 2000, mobile phones first started coming out and gaining traction. I still remember my little StarTAC flip phone that mm-hmm. I had from Motorola. You remember that?
Sure.
And all that supply was coming out of eastern Congo. Militias and warlords were forcing the local population at gunpoint, machete point, to dig this stuff out. And it was flowing up into the formal supply chain, into mostly those first generation cell phones. And that became known as conflict minerals. Cobalt started later. Cobalt really took off about 10, 12 years ago. And it's in another part of the country, in the mining provinces in the southeast of the Congo. And cobalt took off because it was started to be used in lithium-ion batteries to maximize their charge and stability. And it just so happens that the Congo, just as it was sitting on more than half the world's reserves of coltan and, of course, a lot of gold and diamonds and other things, is sitting on more cobalt than the rest of the planet combined. And it's in a small little patch of the Congo, southeastern corner, a part that used to be called Katanga. And before anybody knew what was happening, Chinese government, Chinese mining companies took control of almost all the big mines, and the local population has been displaced, is under duress, and they dig in absolutely subhuman, gut-wrenching conditions for a dollar a day, feeding cobalt up the supply chain into all the phones, all the tablets, and especially electric cars.
Okay. That was Joe Rogan. We thank Joe for that interview. So, let's just be very honest and real. If you use a cell phone or a computer or a laptop and all these other devices, including the batteries in the electric vehicles, you're supporting all this destruction to the human spirit of these individuals living in the Congo. So, it's about choices. I design and make my own clothes. And in fact, each time people come to a retreat, each day I wear a different outfit. It's kind of fun. And I said, if I can do this, you can do it. I save money, and I know that it's made in the USA without exploiting anyone. People buy their clothes from Bangladesh, they don't think about it. India, they don't think about it. China, they don't think about it. You should. Because what if you were one of those people, and I'd love to see the Kardashian family, all of them, I'd love to see them spend 1 week with no special treatment, working like the women in Bangladesh work, getting up before sunrise, going to bed late at night, and working, only allowed to get up from their work tables twice, being a man going up and down the aisles with a stopwatch, timing how long it takes you. If you don't do it right, they can smack you with this piece of brittle and very painful rod that they carry, wooden rod. Why? And it's for designer clothes as well as, you know, common clothes. Not a single thing done about it. Nothing. So at what point do we become aware enough that we decide maybe we should stop living in such complete total denial, and selfishly so, and become more aware of what we can do if we choose to? Just a thought. Also, quickly, to help our radio station, we are doing a webinar to help save lives. We are doing a webinar to help people who've had adverse effects from the vaccines. We're doing a webinar to help those who may have these self-organizing lipid nanoparticles that came from the vaccine and are growing in their veins and arteries, which ultimately could clog them and kill them. We are doing this webinar for those who chose to get not a vaccine, but got sick and then had natural immunity and now have longer COVID, long COVID, the treatments that work. We have selected the best minds, the best scientists, the best physicians in the country who firsthand experience not only on themselves, but also on their patients. So you're going to find ways of helping yourself if you're having second thoughts about the outcome of the vaccines, especially now that a lot of people who didn't know, didn't do their homework, probably didn't care to know, and now they realize they were lied to. These are not safe and effective vaccines, but the amount of damage done is almost insurmountable. So, we're doing a workshop to help you if you find that important. It'll start on noon a week from Sunday on the 8th of January. I'm guessing, again, this is a guess, it's going to last about 8 hours. We will take breaks throughout the day, so you can, you know, get something to eat, go to the restroom, whatever. But it's a lot of information. And Luann Panisi, myself, and Richard Gale are going to be there. We'll be talking after all the experts have shared their protocols. It might seem confusing. We've made it simple. We've standardized all of their protocols, took out all the redundancy into one. So those who attend, you'll have all this information, which I can only imagine how this is going to help people who the doctors are not able to help them with their side effects. Anyhow, all you have to do is go to GaryNall.com and you can sign up directly, or you can call 877-627-5065 and sign up. Or you can call Neil in the Vitamin Closet. He's there till 9 o'clock each night, Monday through Saturday. And Neil is at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. And only those people who sign up will be on. And we were full. We did as much as we could to expand our volume capacity. And so we should be full in another day. Separately, we've asked for a special that we haven't had in a long time. And I'm making this a very outstanding special for you. And that is cruciferous stuff. Why? Listen to what's in cruciferous stuff. You're getting cacao, apple fiber, spinach, apple pectin, beet juice, broccoli, superstar, kale, superstar, parsley, superstar, turmeric, superstar, carrots, watercress, superstar, celery, cabbage, superstar, collard green, superstar, and Brussels sprout, superstar. You have multiple cruciferous vegetables. Those are the most powerful, all-encompassing, nutritionally beneficial vegetables you can take into your body. And you have, let's just count them here, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How about that? What do you want to bet you don't eat one of those in a week? Now you can have them every day. And it's a delicious, tastes like chocolate. That's because of the raw cacao. So if there's one thing that we can do, and you're getting 10 grams of quality fiber in every serving, you can take one scoop of cruciferi each day. Cruciferi stuff. But I'm also adding in a full bottle, which is probably about a 2 month supply, 3 month supply, of the Suprema C Extra, 240 capsules, vegan. And I'm adding in the multi-award-winning documentary, The Biological Aging Challenge, on how to, you're actually seeing people, I filmed the whole thing, you're seeing people who are in the anti-aging study through the whole process, and then you get the conclusions of how much they changed. Phenomenal changes. I mean, phenomenal, in a period of 3 months. You're getting all that. Your cost, $120. The full cost, $218. That's a big savings. Huge, more than 45%. Again, for something that we all benefit from, everyone, every day, and we need, call and get the package. It'll be sent out today. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Now, let's say hello to Alberto from Flushing. Hi, Alberto. Your turn.
I want to share my personal story with the PSAT in high school, because I came to this country at 13 years old and had to learn English as a second language in the ninth grade. In the 10th grade, I was asked by my teacher to be a homework helper to kids. This was American-born kids, and they were in the college-bound program. It's like a scholarship. And I was curious, you know, here I am in Flushing, Queens, not exactly like a place of wealth. And all of the kids in this scholar program were not, there were only one group of ethnic group in that program. And I was saying, if they're in a scholarship, why I'm not in it, given that I've been asked to tutor them. So I think that using grouping, I mean, like, there seems to be, because this teacher that ignore or the awards for those kids who earned the scholarship, the national merit, seems that it's stoking these differences and making choices based on people's background is very unfair.
I would agree, but keep in mind what this investigation showed. And what they acknowledged, they actually admitted this, they're proud of their equity program, is it wouldn't matter if you were Asian American, Chinese American, whether or not you were African American or Latino American, it wouldn't matter. You're not going to get that award. even though you've earned it and you've been recognized and they've given the award to you, the school got the award, not you, and you were not informed. As a result, if you're a working class person, and most of the people in Brooklyn, and except for certain neighborhoods, are working class people, just average people, they're not rich. So to go to a school, a college from Jefferson High School, which is considered the best high school in America, and not be able to get a scholarship and or one of the tuition paid for programs, that's an offense against the student and their families, because their idea is with this new woke nonsense that it's that they, and they actually said something to this effect, we don't want the people who didn't get the scholarship, NASA Scholastic Awards, we didn't want them feeling bad. So we want everyone treated equally, meaning nobody gets the award. I see. So nobody gets the award, even though they earned the award, because you decide that all the merit that they put in, all the work, all the homework, all the studying, all the time they put in, that's of no consequence because you don't want someone who didn't pass the study, for whatever reason, to feel bad. Also, they stated this on the record here, Alberto, that if you don't, if you attend class and fall asleep, the whole class, all right, you get 50%. So there's no failing it. And then they will balance your grade with the smartest kids in the room. But they don't want the smartest kids to be acknowledged because that maybe the other kids not feel good about themselves. Well, why don't we look at why kids are not doing well and have special tutoring programs to help those who are slower learners? We had slower learners when I went to school, and they weren't mocked or ridiculed. They took summer school, or they took after classes, and a lot of them made it up. One of my friends was lazy, and to this day, he's still lazy. But he took the classes, and then he passed, and he got up with everyone else. Today, no equity. Now, just extend this. That means that everyone going to college, no matter what college you go to, should be allowed in without any examinations. And they shouldn't have to take any class they find offensive, like they're already doing in some colleges by not taking a math, because math is racist. Well, of course, math is not racist. And the idiots who are suggesting that are part of this woke cultural capture. They want everyone to feel guilty about anything they do that took some work and discipline and focus, and so that we don't have to do anything. So you should be able to go to Yale College and any college in the United States without any program you don't want to take being mandatory, getting an A, even if you don't attend classes, and you should never be criticized for what you don't know. That's the idea of equity. It's stupid at every level. And thank you for bringing your experience to our attention there, Alberto. We appreciate it. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. And that means it's time for one of the wisest voices in all of radio. I knew her 22 years on WBAI when we served on that station together. I'm still there after 45 years. But she left and she came over to the Progressive Radio Network. And she is that sound voice of reason every day following mine. And here she is, Eutrice Leed.